He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the, it's the Thursday, it's the December 21st live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We had a weird sell-off in the market late in the day yesterday. We're regaining some of it today, although things are cooling off just a little bit since the open. We opened up red hot. Now we're just like orange hot. The Dow is up 196 points. That's a half a percent. It was up about 1%. It's at 37,278. The NASDAQ, I think we can thank Micron for a lot of this today. The NASDAQ's up 102 out of 14,880. The small caps, you know what? This is a market that continues to lean to small caps. Is this foretelling a kind of a new trend that might be developing here next year, a move away from the mega caps? Give the small caps a chance. The Russell 2000's up 1.3. That's the best gain there of all the major indexes. We've got crude oil down 61 cents to 73.61. Gold's up 750. 2,055. Silver's up a nickel. And that 10-year, just an amazing plunge in interest rates from just over 5% all the way down to 3.85. That's where we sit today. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And everybody wanted to know, Barry, the number one question at the end of the day yesterday, what happened to the market in the last, what was it, 2.5 hours or 1.5 hours? It really happened quickly.
And I was listening to a lot of the pundits today, and no one really had an answer. And I was, went back to, you know, kind of this time last year just to see if, and you know, kind of some weird trading things occurred towards the, you know, last couple of weeks of December last year as well. I don't know if it has to do with some algorithmic trading or, you know, just some odd stuff. I mean, you know, they didn't peek at the volume numbers, but my guess is, you know, volume was certainly low early in the day, but if it was FedEx, it was a delayed reaction.
I dug really deep with a lot of my sources. I have a lot of different places I go, subscriptions, etc., to try to figure things out when they don't make any sense. And I think the most likely, it was a very unusual big bet on next year, an options trade that spooked the market. And I guess, you know, it showed up that some big firm out there was buying some puts or something like that. Put butterflies, they called it. So we'll blame the butterflies. And that spooked the market in the last hour and a half. But it just shows you, okay, look, we're kind of getting used to the market going up every day, which it has done since the Fed pivot. And I think when the calendar turns and the coach turns back into a pumpkin, the Fed coach, right, that showed up in front of the market a few weeks ago, the pivot pumpkin, and it's going to turn back into a pumpkin on January the 1st. I think there's going to be some selling, and I think you saw a little foreshadowing of that. I just think you have to kind of get used to that, not panic. But I don't think the market's going to continue going up every day like it has.
Yeah, and we're still at a 19, as you mentioned yesterday, we're at a 20 forward PE ratio or higher, and we're
it's
at
too
a,
high.
Yeah, we're at
20.
A 19, and you know, today we're at 19.5 after yesterday's pullback, which is still a bit high.
It's too high, and I think it's even higher than 19.5. I'm going to look it up.
Depends on your estimates, right?
Yes, it depends on what estimate.
That's probably a more optimistic forward earnings estimate, right?
Yes,
in terms
I think
of, to get to that.
I think it's over 20 right now, and that's too rich. The, you know, the market's kind of shed some pounds here, lose a little bit of weight after the holiday. Just like all of us, we'll be headed to the gym or calling up Lily for that, what's that drug they have? Zepbound.
Zepbound.
I heard that the military gets it for free as part of their plan. That's what somebody told me. So anyways, all right, so let's dig into the market here today. There's actually, you know, you'd think there'd be a quiet day once in a while.
Yeah.
But I haven't found one yet, okay, as we approach the holidays. Okay, we've got GDP, we've got this, we've got
leading indicators,
Philadelphia,
yeah,
factory orders. Okay, all
yeah,
right.
A lot of data, we call it a data dump at the
yes,
end, before a holiday.
It's tomorrow. Here's your big assignment while I'm going through the news here. See if tomorrow's a half day, okay? Is
all right. Right. I think yeah. It's a full trading day, but I'll double check.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Bond market's probably closed or has a half day, though.
Yeah.
They tend to get a little more benefit.
They're soft, those bond guys. Okay, so anyways, we had the worst sell-off since September. Let's get that out of the way. And everybody was panicking, you know, the worst sell-offs in September. Well, you know, okay, we had some weird put volume action that led option holders to offload the underlying stock or market makers to hedge their exposures. That's what I saw when I dug into it very deeply. I don't think it's anything to worry about. It looks like a one-day wonder. But I do think that January could be very interesting in the market after the big gains of this year. FedEx shed 11%. Now, it's interesting that FedEx is blaming the economy, macroeconomic conditions. They're not blaming competition, which we thought might be an issue there. They say there's a volatile macroeconomic conditions out there right now. Now, we're not hearing that. I think Walmart said that recently. So maybe, you know, in the mouth of two witnesses.
They said it was easier for them to, you know, it wasn't as hard for them to hire people is basically what they said in their
poll. Yeah, and as far as the consumer goes, I think Walmart said that they were seeing a little bit of volatile macroeconomic conditions. And like the value aisle, the low end of things. So maybe we're starting to see some slowdown. That would just be a natural course for the economy to take. Initial jobless claims went up a little bit, 205,000. The GDP was revised to 4.9. That's not a big deal. That's pretty good GDP. I mean, that's not recessionary.
When you know, historically, right, the target's been around 3, so 4.9 is not bad.
Yes. Now, expect it to cool off next year, you know, for the year maybe 2.5, something like that is the estimate. Philadelphia factory activity, well, it's cold right now, shrinks more than expected in December. You know, those are always really choppy reports. And then we had Jay Woods, chief global strategist at Freedom Capital Markets, saying the markets could have another sell-off on Thursday. Well, they could. I mean, we're starting to fade this rally a little bit. The NASDAQ's now up 118. I think in January, I think we could have some selling pressure, especially on the companies that had the big gains. I continue to see a move from large cap to small cap, which makes sense. And not to small cap, but there's a lot of train stops in between there. There's mid caps. There's large caps. And I continue to see a flow from growth, otherwise known as higher PE stocks, to value, otherwise known as lower PE stocks.
And that's the weird thing about you know, small caps, you know, perking up, is the fact that, you know, normally you kind of look at that, of course, if it's across the board, it's more of a risk on kind of environment, but in this case you've got, you know, certainly more of a tilt to that small cap value space. I think you sent out a chart on it yesterday.
I sent out a couple of good small cap value stocks that were breaking out yesterday. I continue to see that move. I think that 2024 is, and this is the beauty of being unconstrained, I think you're going to see more of a contrarian year. We haven't seen a contrarian year in a long time. The contrarians have been wrong for the last several years. You know, they start off with these contrarian predictions that don't come true. And their contrarian strategies, you know, don't work out, and their results are awful. But I think – I think next year we could finally be looking at a contrarian year, meaning that which is out of favor, that which is hated, is going to become more beloved next year. And that which was way in favor, which was very narrow group of stocks, is going to become less popular next year. So I think it's going to be a year to be a bit of a contrarian rather than going with the crowd. And I think stock selection is also going to be very important because small cap value is a gigantic field of stocks. Just think of the Russell 2000. There's 2,000 small cap stocks there. Well, I can zero in with my BestStocksNowApp.com and find the best small cap value stocks. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. It's kind of the funny part about yesterday's big sell-off in the market late in the day. It kind of I was busy working on a very complicated formula in the app, making sure it was correct. It was pretty involved, and I was talking to Douglas, who is my friend that's the programmer. And all of a sudden, you know, the market started to go down. I go, what the world is going on? And then, I had to leave. I had a, we had a dinner, a holiday kind of thing. And, I couldn't look into it till I got back, you know, about 8 o'clock last night or so. And I looked at the, market and Micron had reported earnings, right? They had said that, the PC market is rebounding. Well, that was a major market mover.
PC and phones.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So I go, wow, that was a one-day wonder, that sell-off, because I looked at the futures. they were way up. So, well, okay, don't worry about that big sell-off we had, because we're going to have a big day tomorrow. Micron gains as Q1 results. They must have a weird year end if they're already into Q1. Guidance, top estimates. Well, they got to have a September 30 year end.
They're in the future, Bill.
Someone's got to be different out there. Our year end is February 12th. No, I'm just kidding. See, smartphone and PC recovery. Now, that's big news, all right? How many stocks are involved with smartphones?
Well, AMD
and PC.
AMD on the PC side for sure. They're up 2.57% in sympathy with Micron as well today.
So if you're looking for a big downturn in tech, Micron kind of breathed new life, it would seem. And, you know, the other thing about Micron, they're calling it another beneficiary of AI. My problem with Micron is their earnings are all over the map. It's, how do you set a target price on a commodity like Micron? Listen to their last four quarters. Sales down 53% year over year. Sales down 57% year over year. Sales down 40% year over year. Their sales have been crashing. And they're expected to lose $4.45 per share, $1.17, and then they're expected to make $5.62 per share. That's just all over the place. So I have a problem with that. I like a little bit more predictable, steadier kind of growth than sales. But suffice it to say, Micron is hitting a new 52-week high today at 84, and it's lifting all the boats in that harbor where Micron parks their big boat there. It's lifting NVIDIA, it's lifting AMD, it's lifting the PC makers, it's lifting Apple. et cetera. So there was your brief sell-off, and you can thank Micron for saving the rally in the market. Dow's up 300 today.
Yeah, not a name we own, but we own their bond.
Yes, and we do own the bond. I forgot about that. The bond is steady. Okay, well, you've got... Now, there's a case to be made for all of the people that are nervous Snellies with the market. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, we all have different risk tolerances. I don't get on zip lines like other people do. I don't climb Mount Everest, things like that. I do have my risk tolerance, too. But some people just don't like owning stocks because of the volatility. Look at yesterday. I had a few people say, what is happening? It's been up 21 days in a row, goes down one day. What is happening? Should we sell everything? Well, bonds are a good answer. The Micron bond, it's probably, what, $99 or something like that per whatever you call it,
par value.
It never strays much from that, right? And at the end of the term, which is 4 years, 5 years, somewhere in there, you're going to get your principal back, and you're going to earn interest along the way. So there you go. I mean, that's one way. If buy the Micron bond instead of the stock, if you're a nervous Nelly. Now, for me also, and we were wondering during yesterday's show why Google was having such a good day, and I found out why today. Alphabet gains amid report of restructuring. Now, Barry, restructuring is a kind way of saying we're gonna our heads are gonna roll.
Code word for we're gonna
slash
let folks
payroll.
Go, right,
yeah. They're gonna get their pink slips. Is that what they call them? Pink slips at the beginning of.
Yeah, that consolidation's another term of it. Remember, it used to be downsizing.
Similar. Yeah, right. Now it's become restructuring, which is code for. 30,000 people, are going to be without it, or whatever it is, thousands of people, especially in the ad sales unit, which is their cash cow. They're going to use more automation. They're going to use more artificial intelligence. They're going to increasing rely on more machine learning to let customers buy ads on its search engine, etc. And that means that that's called restructuring. It's going to impact the ad sales unit. So if you work for the ad sales unit at Alphabet, your job may be in jeopardy. They have 30,000 people that work there, and they're telling some of the staff that we're going to do a little restructuring. But, okay, so why does the stock go up? Isn't that bad news? God, they're laying people off That means that things aren't going too well. Well, it means that they're trying to improve their bottom line. What's the bottom line called? Earnings. And the market and stocks follow earnings. And if Alphabet's going to lay some people off and it's going to drop to the bottom line, it's going to make the shares more valuable, make the shares go up. So that's why you saw... Alphabet, let's just see if it's following through at all here today. G-O-O-G-L, which is our 16th largest. It is following through. That's a nice move. You know what? Alphabet's on the verge of a breakout. That's an excellent chart. And I would also say that, of all of the big Fabulous Seven, I would say Google kind of underperformed them a little bit. So Google... still looks pretty good to me here at this level, and it looks like it's on the verge of a breakout to new 52-week highs. I like strong stocks. I like strong charts, and Google definitely has one right now. Okay, let's see what else we got here. making this prediction? More downside risk than upside surprise in 2024. This comes from the Capital Outlooks report coming from, I can't find who the source of this is. There it is. Apollo published its 2024 economic outlook. Apollo is a big private equity firm. They see more downside risk than upside surprise. I would agree with that. I don't think you're going to see a lot of upside surprises next year. I think is going to lean more towards the downside risk. So for once, I agree with one of the big mucky mucks out there. Okay, I want to talk about Argentina when we get back. This is a fascinating story to watch in 2020.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show as we get ready to head into the holiday weekend. Tomorrow, the last trading day of the full week of trading, and then next week we'll have a couple of days, and then we'll call it a year for the market. It's been a good year thanks to our friends at the Fed. And we've seen a massive drop in interest rates, especially here towards the end of the year, which just added fuel to the fire. And I think the theme of this past year has been falling interest rates in the Fabulous Seven. And I think next year you're going to have moderating interest rates, a favorable interest rate environment, probably a more steady multiple there in the middle in the market. And I think you're going to see more of a contrarian year next year. And we're going to have to watch. The watchwords next year will be rate cut, Barry. Everybody will be watching for a rate cut. That's the first R word. The second R word is going to be recession. We're always on recession watch, always. I mean, when we get up in the morning every day, economists are on recession watch. There's one looming out there. There's no question about it.
Yeah, we'll have to. We still have to make our bet in terms of when that rate cut will happen. I've been going through the percentage chances on, you know, on the CME, and you know, it looks like
June seems to be the consensus.
Yeah, right in that May June-ish time frame, and it looks pretty. Put it this way, bets are pretty heavy. 99, I think it's like 99% that something, right? Something's getting cut, depending, you know, who knows what the number is going to be by then, but 99% that we're going to be lower in May. So it's we'll see what happens. But.
And I think the more important thing to watch next year is going to be earnings, 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 earnings. It's going to be fun to watch the experiment. Argentina has, you know, tried many things over the years. Nothing has really worked. So now they're going to try something very radical. And I mean, not radical left, but radical right. Argentina's Javier Milei has announced sweeping reforms. Of course, he was recently elected as president to boost the economy, including scrapping laws that prevent the privatization of state-run companies and those that regulate rent. So he's a proponent. He won on the philosophy of we're going to cut government. He's the one that his campaign, he carried a chainsaw around. He wants to take a chainsaw to government.
Cutting everything.
Yep, and here's his quote yesterday. The goal is to start on the road to rebuilding our country, return freedom and autonomy to individuals, and start to transform the enormous amount of regulations, there's that word, another R word, regulations that have blocked, stalled, and stopped economic growth in our country. Well, they're printing up the protest signs, and they're out in the streets, they're marching, trying to stop his massive reform, but he wants to privatize the national airlines. He wants to privatize the railroad, the media companies, the water and sanitation department. And he also wants, you know, Argentina is pretty rich in natural resources. They have a lot of oil. They have a lot of farming and agriculture. They have gold. They have silver. But, you know, the other part of it is how many times have they devalued their peso? I think it's fair to say that there's been a lot of corruption in Argentina for many years. I don't know if you can get rid of that. That seems to just be rampant throughout South America. The devaluation of the Argentina peso is in the works. Another thing that's not going to be real popular. It's going to be some strong medicine. It's not going to be like, you know, this is sweet to the taste. This is bitter in the belly.
Well, it's not easy. I mean, it's been, you know, as you say, it's a history of you know, of this, and so, you know, it's no different than, you know, someone trying to get their own, you know, financial house in order, right? I mean, in this instance, it's an entire country, and it's been, you know, it's a structural issue over a long period of time. So.
What was the highest our inflation rate got during this hottest bout of inflation in decades in America? What did it get up to?
It was around 12, I mean, you know, 12, 10 range, I believe. You know,
okay.
When you looked at when I think it was on a, you know, one of those month, you know, year over year basis. Right,
that's peanuts when you consider their inflation is 161% right now. 161%. So something that cost a dollar last year is up 160. Wouldn't that be $2
and 61 cents?
Exactly. Ouch.
Percentages get weird sometimes.
For a peach,
but I think that works for that one.
As for one peach. Oh, man. No wonder the chainsaw was appealing to them. Okay, small cap value. BTIG says, here's some small cap value ideas. I'm seeing this theme a lot more. I'll give you one example that I sent out. We don't own this, but I've had my eyes on it. Dream Finders Homes, DFH. It's a small cap. What qualifies it for a small cap? Somewhere in the $1 billion to $20 billion range. I'm just going to give a kind of a broad range there. It would be a small cap. You get under that.
And they still have these, you know, I was looking at those bands when you were talking about it earlier this week, and they still have kind of those old textbook, you know, numbers out there, and it's like, you know, small cap is higher than it used to be. A mid-cap is higher.
You have to move the bar a lot. You have one stock, Apple, that went up by $1 trillion this year.
Right.
Okay, $1 trillion. This is unheard of. So Dream Finders Home is a little one, $3.3 billion. But listen to what they do. Okay, they're in Jacksonville, Florida. They build homes. And I got to, you know, I've heard it through the grapevine that there's a lot of people moving to Florida. That's like they're on the receiving end. We're on the receiving end. Look at the traffic we have now, Barry, that we didn't have before, because all these people from New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Ohio and New York, a lot of New Yorkers have come to South Carolina. But anyways, Dream Finders Homes it's been growing over the last 5 years by 84% per year. Their earnings, 84% per year. So what kind of P.E. multiple do you think the stock is trading at? Probably 40 or 50, something like that. If it was a tech stock, it'd be trading at 200 times earnings. It's trading at a P.E. ratio of 13.
Yeah.
And it just broke out. And my valuation shows it with 95% upside potential over the next 5 years. Now, I had it, I was circling it, you know, circling around it like a bird dog ready to pounce, and all of a sudden it broke out yesterday or a couple days ago, and I've been waiting for it to cool off. But I'm just saying, these are not easy to find. They're like a needle in a haystack. The Russell 2000 is 2,000 stocks of this size or smaller, really. I mean, this is kind of the upper end for Russell 2000. So anyways, I think that this is going to be a much more fertile area in the market next year than, let's just say, mega cap growth. Maybe small cap value is going to outperform. And I look at some of these small cap value ETFs. they're breaking out right now. So it's too early to say, wow, this is the way the market's going to go in 2024. But there's a lot of logic behind making that forecast and watching that movement take place right now. Boeing continues to get good news. It sounds like China's going to start buying Boeing planes again. Boeing has had a good year. They had a big stumble towards the middle of the year when they found some bad parts or something like that, and the stock started selling off again, and now it's taking off again. Boeing, they had a huge lot of orders came in during the Dubai Air Show, and they seem to be cranking on all cylinders again at Boeing. Citigroup has dug really, really deep and found three stocks for you for 2024.
It's not another, another Microsoft one, is it?
Amazon, Facebook, now known as Meta, and Uber. Okay, Uber's their most daring pick for 2024. Now, these stocks have all had huge years, right? And now they're saying, well, we think they're going to be top picks for next year, too. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk about one restaurant stock. I see an article on the restaurant stocks. They left out my favorite restaurant stock. Stock, not food, stock. And then we'll dig underneath the surface of this big move in the market today. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Interesting underneath the surface action in the market today, which we'll get to here in a bit in our final segment of today's show. But I saw an interesting article. Wedbush lists their top restaurant picks for 2024. I didn't see my stock here. They like Dutch Brothers. Kava. Cheesecake Factory. Wendy's.
I still haven't been to Cava. Have you been to Cava yet?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it? Okay.
You know, I've seen Mediterranean chains start up before.
I've seen three different ones in that one location, right?
I know. And they just keep changing, so there's something not working there. My top pick is going to remain quality QSR, Restaurant Brands International. And here's the reason why. You may not like Popeyes, you may not like Burger King or Tim Hortons or Firehouse Subs, that's their four brands, but they got the maestro at the helm, another guy that wields a chainsaw, a turnaround expert that turned around Domino's Pizza in the name of Patrick Doyle. And that stock is starting to really take off here. It got down to 61, now it's at 76, it's up 25% in the last few months. But I think we have an article on Seeking Alpha. I need to get some articles punched out. I'll figure out
the date. And by the way, before I forget about my homework, no half day tomorrow. So,
well, okay. I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna be a bond guy in 2024, so I can get a few days off here and there. But anyways, you know, look, I mean, in the article, we wrote about how much you would have made from the time Domino's was taken over by Patrick Doyle and by the time he left Domino's. It was some 2,000% return.
Yeah, it was a crazy number.
There's not any guarantee that he's going to do it again, but if any four restaurants need a turnaround expert, it's Burger King, Tim Hortons, Firehouse Subs, and Popeye's Chicken. I mean, they are just losing big time to better chains out there. And I have seen some incremental improvement. I stopped about it back in May. Okay, what was it? It hasn't done much yet for us. What was the price of it in May?
Yeah, it's up total return so far 9.3%.
Well, that's okay. But the Big Macs, I mean the Whoppers have not really gotten any better yet. Because I check about once a month
The ghost pepper whopper was outstanding.
With a neon bun
or something, I think.
And I asked the lady, I go in and talk to them when I stop by there.
Channel check.
In Georgetown. Yeah. I said, how did those ghost pepper walk? She said, well, they were too hot for me, honey. I said, I know, but how many did you sell? Oh, she said, we sold a lot of them. They don't have anything on their menu now, so I just got the standard Whopper. I see no improvement whatsoever. So he better get going here on improving. French fries were excellent, blah, blah, blah. But I think Restaurant Brands is the sleeper there, QSR. That's the contrarian pick. And you're investing in a guy who has already done it at a very, Domino's was way out of favor, way out of favor. And, you know, I've got, we've got family here in this area. They like Domino's as that's their top pick now. I said, boy, 10 years ago, you wouldn't have said that because of Patrick Doyle. Okay, now I'm going to look underneath the surface of the market here. And what I'm seeing is low P.E. The leaders in the Dow, Walgreens, American Express, and Pfizer. Okay. What do all those stocks have in common? Low P.E. stocks. Walgreens has a P.E. ratio of 6. Okay, let's compare that with Salesforce, which is also in the Dow. Salesforce is 34. Okay, Pfizer has a P.E. ratio of 8. I think it's going to be more of a contrarian year. Pfizer has a P.E. of 8, and I'm sure American Express has a low P.E. ratio. Those are your three biggest gainers in the Dow. Yeah, American Express is 17. Now you say, well, that's just the Dow. No, I look at the NASDAQ, and I see a uniform company that makes uniforms for people that work. Syntus. Well, it has a pretty high P.E., but it's definitely not a mega cap growth stock. I see Western Digital at the top of the heap. It has a very low PE, maybe of 10 somewhere in there. I see Vodafone at the top in the NASDAQ, PE ratio of 10.
Yeah, so the problem is you got to sift through the ones that that should have a low PE ratio versus the ones that are quote unquote undervalued, right? In terms of a value trap potential.
So I see Seagate there also, which is a pretty low PE ratio. Then I go over to the S&P 500 and I see exactly the same. CarMax, which absolutely got crushed not too long ago, CarMax has got a PE of 24. It's one of the big winners today. And Micron is a low PE stock. Micron's forward PE is about 15 or 16. I mean, it's nothing like Nvidia and AMD. And then I see VF Corp, which has been a big loser. VF is, isn't that Lee and Wrangler jeans and stuff like that? VF's got a PE of 10. It's one of the bigger winners. So you're just seeing a lot of out-of-favor stocks all of a sudden coming back into favor. But then, like Barry says, you have to pick through the low PE just because it's low PE. But I think there's movement into value ETFs. And so by nature, they've got to buy all the value ETFs, good or bad. Now, my strategy is to go into the value ETFs and find the best of the best. And, you know, most of them deserve low PE ratios. You got to find the ones that are still vibrant companies that have been overlooked in 2023 and could do a whole lot better in 2024. Well, I'll be writing the newsletter again this weekend. It'll come out on Christmas Eve. How about that? No. Christmas Eve.
Yeah, there you go.
I get Sunday off, and then we'll have that newsletter out. A lot of predictions for next year. Made a few changes this past week. Go to GundersonCapital.com to get 2 free weeks of the newsletter. That'll give you something to read over the long holiday weekend, and set up an appointment with us. Maybe you got some time off. I get bored when the market's closed and I'm sitting at home, and I can't wait to get back to work. Give us a call if you got some time off to talk to us. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.